Hail and hello, everyone. Welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, a Midgard Musings production. Join me, Jesse, your host, as we discuss random heathen-related topics and various other things in an attempt to find where, if any, heathen worldviews can be applied. You can support this podcast by clicking on the Linktree link in the description or show notes. You can also follow me on all of my social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and become a patron on Patreon. Join me every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central on all major podcast streaming platforms, including Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and many, many more. If you wish to have your voice heard on the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, you can dial in to 615-671-9832. Thank you all once again for listening to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast. Enjoy, and hail to you all.
Well, all right, folks. How's it going? How's everybody doing? It's been a while. Didn't have an episode last week, as I had mentioned last week. We had family visiting from out of town, out of state. Not out of this world, although sometimes those visits from family can feel like it's, you know, out of this world, man. But no, it was my wife's family, her father's sister and husband, so, you know, aunt and uncle. They live on the West Coast, and you know, they're up in years, and they don't come out here but about once a year. And with some of the you know, pandemic restrictions and stuff from the last year or two, they haven't made it out here. So it's been a couple of years since we all got to see him, and we wanted to use the time that we had spending with them, you know, to be put to good use. So I had plans of, you know, having a podcast last week, but that changed, as you can tell. So actually, let me do something real quick. Did I do that? Yeah, I did. All right, so this week's episode is just kind of going to be a recap of the one before. And I was able to figure out, I remember last time we had an episode, we had a call that I wanted to listen to from Crow. He's a Govi out in Idaho. Crow in Idaho. He's their tribe, I believe, are called the Deathlanders, because if you ever been to Idaho, those are the Deathlands. Pretty cool guy from what I've gotten a chance to listen to from him. So he had some comments about the topic of last week's podcast, or the last podcast, I should say, about, you know, heathen self-care and stuff like that. So we're going to be listening to his voicemail, you know, and as a reminder, the phone lines are always open. Although I don't answer them live, you can always call in and leave a message. Leave a message after the beep. Beep. So we're going to be listening to that, and it's going to kind of be recapping a bit the Seegerbloat event that my tribe and I participated in. Small group gathering, nothing too elaborate, but it was good times. I've shared a little bit of content about that. So if you guys go to the YouTube channel, if you're watching this on Spotify or listening to this on any other podcast platform, head over to the Midgard Musings YouTube channel, and you'll see a Freyr Wicker Man. We call the Freyr Man. It's our tradition. It's become a tradition for us at Seegerbloat to make a Wicker Man and dedicate it to Freyr. We will gather limbs from the nearby, you know, deadfall of trees, bind it up, you know, with baling twine or with Yeah, baling twine usually works really well. And we got some straw, so all of the material used to kind of make him what he is, you know, assembled as like a full figured body, where the branches and limbs and straw that made him. And then we always include, for anybody that's not familiar with one of Freyr's infamous features, we dedicate our Wicker Man to Freyr in all his phallic glory. So if you guys go to the YouTube channel and watch the burning of the Wicker Man, of the Freyr Man, right, you'll notice that he has a phallic appendage made out of another branch. You know, so we always do that. We did it on the first year's Wicker Man that we made, and it was a bit crude. We had, I think it was hedge apples, somehow tied into the frame to kind of replicate the kuyans, right? The gonads. But this year we didn't have any hedge apples. It's really weird. The hedge apples hadn't fallen yet. Whereas a couple of years ago they had fallen aplenty. They were all over the place. So this time we just had the shaft, and that's our thing. So head over to the YouTube channel to check that out and see what it is it's all about. It was a great time. We did that, you know. Dingo's daughter, Dingo being our Gothi, you know, we collectively, him and I, worked together on writing the ritual, you know, the words that we would speak for the ritual. And the plan was that either he or I was going to speak, but his daughter Kaya had asked if she could read some of it, and then it turned into, could she read the whole thing? And I said, of course, that would be great. So I didn't record any of that, and there's not going to ever be any recordings of us actually conducting ritual. You know what I'm saying? Like, the closest thing that we did the Freyr man burning right before ritual. That was kind of the launch into the ritual, as it were. And but I won't ever be the one to record any of our rituals, just out of respect, you know. I feel like that's kind of one of those things that needs to be kept private to the attendees. Our high feasts, our holy tides that our tribe adheres to, are closed off to the tribe. With the exception of Yule, we invite guests and friends and near dear friends to the tribe to participate. So, you know, at our Yule, we will invite either neighboring members of neighboring tribes. For instance, we have Greg Strong, who is chieftain of the Raven Moon Hearth in Nashville. We've had him at every one of our Yule events. But the Sigurbloat thing, it's for victory, right? And so we keep that one closed off to tribe only. But so I won't ever like record anything like that and share it on the internet. But so you'll get as much as you get from seeing the Freyr Wicker Man being burnt. So Kaya, you know, read the ritual, and it was really sweet because, you know, it's all handwritten. So she's, I think, 6 years old now. And she was reading, you know, in the dark. The only thing that was illuminating, I think Dingo maybe had a flashlight, but mainly the light of the fire that the burning of the Wicker Man provided. So, you know, that whole thing went up in flames and it was very illuminating. And, you know, she's six and she's reading the handwriting of men in their late 30s and several pages, actually, you know. So it was a slower process. Like, the ritual reading lasted longer than it would have had, you know, Dingo or myself been reading it. But that was the great thing about it, is because the time that it took for her to read through it, she did it very, very well. I mean, I've got to say, you know, for being six and reading a whole, you know, multiple page ritual like that, that's impressive. But I wanted to allow that opportunity for her, especially seeing as, you know, she asked for it, and asked to do it. I thought that was a tremendous, that'd be a tremendous gesture to, celebrate, right? First of all, and, have something so, so strong added to the well and become part of our tribal luck. So because it lasted a bit longer, because, you know, you kind of are caused to pause and think about everything that's being said, because even though you spent the time writing it, right, even though Dingo and I spent the time penning it down, you know, from pen, you know, from the mind to the pen to the paper, listening to it being recited and having everything being said, you know, she struggled with a couple of words. So there was a community effort, you know, the tribe involved, got involved to help. What does that word say? It says this, you know, that sort of thing. So even though she read it, it became a kind of tribal affair. You know, we were all there for it, but it was very much a hands-on thing. And, you know, you get to really put your focus on what's being said when it's being said, because you're not the one saying it. So I don't know, like it worked out really well. And I did want to make sure to tell that, you know, here on this podcast, because I know that not just our tribe, but a lot of other groups leading up to today and from, you know, a couple of weeks ago have been observing a celebration of equivalence to Seeger Bloat. You know, I know that Eric Shervin's people in Texas, the Hridgar folk, they have a Lifga celebration right around that time or the week after we did our Seeger Bloat. And they have a really neat, dedication. I think their, you know, springtime celebration is dedicated to Idun, from my understanding. You can probably go back through Eric's catalog, in his YouTube videos and find something. I think he did a video or two where he talks about Lifga and what that is. And then I know that him and I both did a collaboration video talking about Ostara or Estor, which is another commonly referred to. And this is, you know, this could be a whole conversation, goddess / moon / month, right? Deity, whatever, around the same time of year. So we did like his collaboration video, and there's a lot of, you know, stuff from that video that I probably would go back to and go, need to polish that one up a bit. But anywho, between him and I and the content that he's put out and I've put out, you know, we've talked about those springtime celebrations. So, you know, his tribe, they celebrate Lifga. Our tribe, clearly the folk, celebrate Seeger Bloat. And then I've seen some other groups of people or people that represent other groups talking about celebrating Seeger Bloat. Even as recent as this past weekend, you know, so there are a couple of weeks, you know, or at least a full week, week and a half, whatever, past the official date, right? The actual date of the moon, the full moon. But that's fine, you know, whatever works, and then whatever works for you. And I see a lot of people when they talk about their ritual or ask about what they should do, they get nervous. And, you know, there's concern like, oh, I'm not going to read it right, or I've never done this before. I'm afraid I'm going to stumble over my words. I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, botch this whole thing. And then I get to sit back and reply and say, hey, our tribe, our ritual was led by a 6-year-old and it was great. You know, was it like the most, like, would you say like it's the most eloquent, the most elaborate, the most, you know, aesthetic, perfect, you know, whatever? Like, no, there was, you know, it was rough around the edges, but in that roughness and in that imperfection, it was perfect, and it was great for us. So because it was so genuine, because it was so sincere, and because it was something that came from the heart and was done in that way and in that fashion, right? So I always can go back to that moment that I was a part of and that our tribe celebrated together, and can say, you know, look, don't be so hung up on the on the specifics of it. You know, don't be worried about messing up, right? As it were, don't be worried about falling short, missing a word, mispronouncing a word. I mean, if a six-year-old can do it, and it work well, then surely you can as well. And just let it come from the heart and let it be genuine and let it be the thing that secures luck for your kindred, your tribe, your group. So for everybody and anybody who got the chance to celebrate whatever, Ostara, Aist, or the Sigurbloat, Lifka, whatever you call it, whatever your springtime celebrations are for the purpose of whatever they are, I hope that all of your celebrations have brought with them, you know, good results, and that you've achieved the desired results, and that you receive good luck for the rest of the year into the times of bounty, into the times of plenty. You know, we look ahead now into doing things and into achieving things to set ourselves up for the next cycle. We've survived the harshness. We've survived the darkness. We've survived the time of leanness, you know, and now we look forward to times of plenty and bounty and celebrating those victories, winning those victories, achieving those victories, setting out and doing those things. You know, that's one of the things that, you know, we tried to incorporate into our Sigurbloat is, you know, everybody here should have a victory that they can celebrate or should celebrate. And let's talk about that. Let's speak it into existence. Let's make it so, right? Let's celebrate in those victories together, because one man's victory, one woman's victory, one person's victory amongst the tribe is the tribe's victory and can potentially have benefit for the tribe as a whole. And you know, your joy is our joy, your sorrow is our sorrow, that whole thing. And that's what I love about the tribal approach to heathenry. It just fits so well with, you know, the very inherent worldviews and that sort of thing. So hopefully you got a chance to celebrate Sigurbloat with your kin and your kith, your extensions of family. And even if you didn't, even if you celebrated it solitarily, I know we've got some people that are listening and watching that have no real grassroots kindred or tribe or anything like that similar close to them, or that they're not a part of it yet, or that they're looking for something, right? But yet you still find ways to practice solitarily, and you're a solitary practitioner and you do things by yourself or in the confines and in the privacy of your home or whatever sacred space that you've set up or deemed appropriate. And so for you as well, for all of our solitary practitioners, and I wish, you know, lots of luck and good victories for you as well. And that kind of is a good, I think, segue into Crow's call. So I'm going to pull that up real quick, and I want us to listen to what he has to say. So Crow, once again, is in Idaho. And this is him calling in and referencing the last podcast episode about, you know, self-care. So let's see what he has to say.
Hi, Jesse. This is Crow, once again, from the Deathlands. I really liked your last episode about heathen self-care. A couple of things I thought would be great to attribute to it, you know, for all of us, is to embrace solitude. Don't get, you know, overwhelmed by it, yes, by any means. But, like listen. Like, go out into the forest or the desert or the mountains or wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Just take time to, well, listen to yourself. Listen to what's going on inside, assess it, digest it, and just let it out. Kind of like how smoke is to fire. Mm. You burn it and it's gone. Also to keep an open mind. A lot of people, I don't think, really take time to embrace it. Man, there's a lot of things that can be taken care of with an open mind, like accepting things, like I said before, as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, you know, taking the time to look at them and be like, oh, well, if I assess it this way, I can overcome it. The last two things, I think, are really kind of pertinent because that's how my wife and I view things, is to breathe new air and find new dirt. Now, I'm not talking like going like across the country or anything, you know? I mean, who has the money for that, especially with gas prices as they are now? Oh, my God. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, go out. Go to a different forest.
Mm.
Breathe this air. Or go out to a different mountain and get your boots in this dirt. So when you come home, you can look over at your boots and think, oh, wow, that's a memory right there. And they're milestones. And I think that's most important for healthcare, especially when it comes to us heathens. We're very nature-based, and I feel it ties into it. Anyways, have a good day, and hello, Odin, and drink lots of water.
Drink lots of water, yes. You know, he brings up several good points, and again, in light of the attention on health, you know, self-care, taking care of ourselves, keeping an open mind, he's talking about, you know, being open to the, to those ideas and not, we talked about, embracing the solitude. That was the word I was looking for. Embracing that solitude, you know, there's a place for that. There's definitely a place for it. Even in, tribal heathenry, you know, obviously the tribe ideally doesn't function as good, without each respective member having a part in the tribe's mechanics, right? And then the way it works, it's the engines has to, all the pistons have to be firing on all cylinders and everything has to be, you know, everybody has a place and everybody has a part, but the solitude, the, you know, solitary practitioners and solitude, there's a place for that. I find myself finding comfort and solace in solitude a lot. And, you know, you can look at it too from like the perspective of the gods that we venerate. You know, Odin is the chieftain of the Aesir. You know, he is their leader. He is their king. He is over that tribe. And he has many stories of being alone and wandering by himself and not having a companion, not having anyone to go with. And there's probably some inherent value to why that is, right? But especially when you consider just, you need a break from people sometimes. Sometimes you just need to get out and get away. Recently myself, right? I had that happen. Never fails. My phone rings whenever I'm in the middle of doing something. And this phone call is, you know, way after my work hours. So never fails, though. I said that the last time. It never fails. Anyway, it's not important right now. When I was to say this last week, or just this past weekend, rather, you know, there was a gathering of pagans. Actually, one of, I mentioned Greg earlier from Raven Moonhearth. He held a Beltane group or a Beltane get together. It was a Beltane celebration, you know, a little early, I guess, but it was a beautiful day. And it was here in one of our local parks in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. And I couldn't attend. But one of our members of our tribe did. So there was, you know, there was representation there, which was great, but I was doing my own thing, right? I went out to one of my favorite spots, one of my favorite locations off of the Greenway hiking trails and stuff, right? It wasn't a very long distance for me to go, But it was a solitary thing. And I had a purpose in it. You know, I wanted to meditate. I wanted to be alone. I wanted to kind of separate myself from the world around me and be alone for a bit. And that's okay. That's actually part of taking care of yourself, right? Don't feel bad. And like Crow says, you know, embrace the solitude. It's okay to step aside or step outside, you know, and go clear your mind and find that, like he was talking about, find that new air, you know, breathe in new air and feel new earth. Granted, you know, this is very, I know this earth, right? I know the places that I went. So it wasn't like I was going to a new place, but the experience can be new, especially as you go into it in a specific state of mind, you know, if you want to, you know, get into like a ritual state of mind or whatever, and kind of zone out a little bit and focusing on where you are physically to be able to travel or go other places. So going into the woo-woo type stuff, but, you know, it's beneficial. It's beneficial to step outside of where you feel like, you know, you're with your community, you're with your tribe, you're with your people. Sometimes you just need to step away. Sometimes being around all that can get overwhelming, or you just, you know, you need to clear your mind, clear it all. So it's very beneficial and it works great. So like he's saying, you know, embrace the solitude, but don't get lost in it. Don't go, I'll never forget. I've made reference to enough times, I think, on this podcast, for people that are return listeners, about my ritual journey in November that I went on with my tribesmen, you know, and that was a shamanic journey, 100% shamanic, but it was a healing ritual. It was a bunch of things, but it was very shamanic. And one of the key things that I remember about that whole experience was at some point I wandered off. I left the circle. I left the sanctity or the safety, right? The sanctuary, not the sanctity. I left the sanctuary of my tribe, right? Of those who I was there with. I wandered outside of it, and I needed to go and do my own thing. And I did. And then I temporarily got lost, not lost in the sense of I didn't know where I was, but just lost in the sense of I can see where I need to go, but I don't know how to get there. Like the mechanics of it, like getting from point A to point B just was not happening. You know, I could see the end of the tunnel, but I couldn't put my feet in front of each other to get to that point, right? And I needed help getting back. I needed help from my Gothi. And the advice that I received was, you know, it's something that I'll never forget. And it's something that I'm taking with me on many facets of my life, you know. And what he said to me was, it's okay to get lost a little bit. It's okay to go out there, but just don't go so far out that you forget your way back. So it's kind of a reminder to me, like what, you know, Crow is saying, is it's, you know, embrace the solitude. Just don't get crazy with it, you know, cause you can get lost in that, and it can become something so healing and something so beneficial and something so good can turn into something that ruins us. You know, you got to be careful. Don't get so lost in it. Don't feel that you're so cut off or that you're so, you know, just because you're not a member of a tribe or you don't have, you know, a kindred or a group or whatever you want to call it, of people that you can associate with, or that you think you can associate with, doesn't mean that you have to stay a hermit and isolated to the point where you have no interaction, because you can just become too. Definitely agree with that. You know, whenever you have the opportunity, go to new places. It doesn't have to be far. It doesn't have to be, you know, like he's talking about with traveling and stuff. It is. It's a, it's definitely a hard time. There's a lot of challenges that we, as humans, as humanity, you know, we have a lot of challenges that face us. But we persevere and we figure out, you know, what we have to do to make things happen. And that's the other, you know, beautiful thing about tribe, is that because when you have more people in your corner, when you have more people at your side, then there's more opportunities to meet those challenges and be victorious, right? Because one person by themselves faced with so many challenges is less equipped to beat them and to overcome them. One example, you know, that I can think of, right, is, you know, our tribe events are very collaborative with each other, right? No one man does too much, but everybody has a role. I say man, but I mean, like, no one person does too much. When we get together and we have our tribal events, you know, we're usually preparing food as well. And that in itself is ritualistic, right? Because we're in the kitchen, and everybody has a role, right? Somebody's going to prep vegetables. Somebody's going to prep the meat. Somebody's going to fire up the grill. Somebody's going to cook the bread in the oven. Somebody's going to, you know, whatever, the stew, you know, everybody's going to have their hand in the pot to stir the stew and make sure that it doesn't burn or doesn't boil over or whatever. You know, if it was just one person doing all that, they'd be overwhelmed. You know, you'd burn the this, you'd overcook that. You'd set something on fire, right? Whatever. And also to the point of the ritual space when we're at our vey, you know, no one person is cutting all the wood, you know, no one person is constructing the wicker man. We all had our hands on him, you know. Some of us had our hands on places of prayer for good luck. I mean, you know, it's like, you can't help but, I mean, it's just, it's there. And you gotta give him a little tug, you know what I mean? For good luck and good measure. Not to get too graphic, but you get what I'm trying to say. Gotta keep prayer happy. So, it's stuff like that. You know, everybody has their hands in it and everybody has their part. And again, it's just the beautiful thing about the tribe. You don't get overwhelmed with so much because you are helping each other and everybody has their own thing, even to the point of outside of that, you know, getting from point A to point B. You know, I'm in a position right now where my car is not roadworthy. I need to get a lot of work done on it. Not even a lot of work, but I need to get work done on it. That's going to cost this, right? So when I need to get places or when I need to, you know, be able to get to the ritual place, you know, and my wife can't take me there or whatever, it's, you know, Dingo and Patrick, they're always, we'll make it happen, you know, and I compensate for that. You know, it's, you know, here's some gas money. Let me buy the meal. Let me do this. Let me do that. It's all about the continuous preservation of luck. And it's a gifting exchange. It's a gifting cycle. That's how we do it. That's how we preserve luck. And it's one of the ways I should say that we do it, is we keep that gifting cycle going. We keep those wheels rolling, you know? So if, you know, we get together and it's, you know, we're going to have dinner and stuff, we all contribute, or we bring something to drink, you know, it's, I mean, we are clearly folks. So, you know, there's always some good, strong whiskey going around, of different sorts. I don't think we've ever had the same whiskey more than twice in a year at an event. You know, it's always usually something different. Might have a staple that we keep around, but it's like always something new. We all contribute to that, right? So solitude, you know, and solitary practitioners, you don't get that same experience. And that can be you know, that can put a lot of people into a mental funk. I get it, you know, especially when you see things being shared and it's like, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to do that, you know, and you can, you absolutely can. Like, for, you know, with Greg's event this past weekend, the Beltane thing, you know, it was an open event. Pagans, heathens, atheists. I mean, anybody really. I mean, obviously Beltane, it's a, you know, a pagan observance of but in that way, but I mean, it's open to anybody, you know, all ages. And I can almost say for sure that in most places, I mean, I'll speak to the United States. I don't, cause I can't really speak to what's going on outside of the domestic US, but I think in the majority of places in the United States, that anybody that wants to organize an event similar to that, if they want to put a public event on Facebook, you can do it. And you would be surprised that just the if you don't have somebody that you're, you know, a group or a kindred or whatever, if there's not people that you are already connected with, create an event like that where you're like, hey, if you're pagan or pagan friendly, come on out and meet. Guarantee you're going to get people to show up. I would almost put money on it. I would put money on it, actually. No matter where you are, sometimes it's just taking that step. If nobody else is doing it, then you be the one that does it, right? And I got that that I got that spark and that idea thanks to Eric Shervin. You know, I watched one of his videos years ago, and he was talking about, you know, pagan events or heathen events and meetups, and how important it is to establish tribe, and how important it is to, you know, have a local community and all that, and the importance of tribal heathenry. And I really sunk my teeth into it and started learning about things and realized that, wow, yeah, there's a lot of different pagan groups around here. And there's even, you know, the Raven Moon Hearth Kindred has been around for a while, and they are definitely Germanic pagan, but a little bit too eclectic, right, for my particular style. At large, great people. And I said, Greg's a very good friend of mine, an honored guest at our hall for our Yule events. And you know, nothing bad to say about the guy like that. I just, you know, as far as being a part of another extension of families, that wasn't where I was wanting to go with it. So what did we do? We started something of our own. And in the Middle Tennessee area, there's a lot of other, I think, pagan, you know, subgroups and things. It's very, for being in the Bible Belt, I gotta say, for being so, you know, Christian focused here, there's actually a lot of alternative religion. I actually live down the road from I believe it's a Buddhist temple. So I mean, there's a lot of alternative religions, not just your, you know, regular Christianity. Sort of thing. So for being in the South, like, there's a lot of those types of things. And but we have our Middle Tennessee Heathens group, and there's a, you know, it's not very large. It's, you know, a few hundred members, and it's kind of quiet nowadays. But that's a start. It's a start for something. And our tribe exists, and as small as it may be, it exists, and it can, with the right care, with the right focus, it'll grow. And then that's kind of where we are at. You know, we're in that young, early growth stage where you got to kind of be careful with the growth. You don't want to grow too fast and not have a good, strong foundation, right? You don't want to stay root bound for too long either, but there's movement. There's definitely movement, and there will be more. There'll be definitely more. So what I'm saying is that it can happen. Some people actually prefer to be solitary. They prefer to be on the outskirts and not be a part of a group or whatever. And hey, if that's the way you like to mambo, then by all means, keep on dancing, right? But for those that may feel a bit discouraged or a bit wanting of things, it's possible. Like, you can do it. You know, anybody can. If there's nothing in the area that you know of and people aren't doing it already, you can be the one to start it. And you don't always have to be the one that is stuck in that solitary rut. You can find community, you can build community, you can start something yourself, right? And we even talked about, not in great detail, but in the last couple of episodes, Emmanuel Frere is, you know, talking about making some big steps to have a kind of a community, a literal community built on property that he's going to be purchasing or plans to purchase, and have, you know, community resources for heathens, you know, schools and markets maybe, or whatever. I don't know. I don't want to put ideas where they aren't any, but it's, you know, having all that, having a temple, a hof, a place of worship, that sort of thing. Very ambitious, and really great to hear and great to see. So it can be done, you know, to whatever degree your resources allow you to do that, then by all means do it, right? Don't, sometimes waiting for something else to happen, or for somebody else to do it, is going to leave you waiting for a very long time, and you may never get the results. It just may never happen. You may be waiting for nothing. So I definitely appreciate you, Crow, for calling in, and leaving that really good advice. I love the idea of, you know, going outside of the places that, you know, breathing in new air, you know. We're doing that. Our tribe is doing that later this year. We have plans of going out to North Carolina and meeting up with J.M. Olufsen. And if y'all have a tier workshop, you guys have heard me talk plenty about him. Really great guy. And that's going to be new air, new earth for our tribe too. I have been there before, but it's definitely not the norm for me around here. Obviously I don't see him that often. So it's going to be very refreshing, and it's going to be new for the rest of the tribe. Right. So we're going out there with a purpose, a definite purpose, a specific purpose, but the very journey itself, the very essence of going there is part of the purpose too. It's journeying together, literally, for another journey, and breathing in that new air, feeling that new earth, you know, connecting with Yod, you know, the earth mother, connecting with Yod, in that way, opens up a whole different perspective on things. I think it's, you know, being like Crow says, you know, very nature centric, I don't know, just reconnecting in that way. It's charging, man. Like it's so electrifying. And it could be, you know, that I feel more of that from recent experiences, from my recent shamanic journeys and all that. But I think it's heightened because of that. But I've always felt it. I've always felt better when I'm in nature and when I'm away from, you know. Like I remember being a kid, and growing up, I was always wanting to go outside and play, you know? And when I moved with my family, to a place where we had, you know, wooded property, my dad had at the time nearly 17 acres, you know, that's all where I wanted to be. You know, when I wasn't in school or when I wasn't working, I didn't want to go inside and watch TV. I didn't want to go inside and play video games. I didn't want to go to the mall. Man, I wanted to be in the woods. And I'm talking like, I'll be back when it's dark kind of thing. Like I didn't just go out there, sit down, you know, I went in the woods. Like I went walking. I went exploring. I went places and I saw things and experienced the life around me. And it felt like home. It felt like that's where I wanted to be. You know, the lifestyle that I grew up in was very dated, I guess you could say. I mean, it's you know, I grew up not on a farm, but I worked on a farm several days a week. So, you know, in that way, I did grow up working on a farm for like a decade, from like the time I was like 10 or 11 years old until I moved away and moved to Tennessee. You know, I worked on a farm. I cut you know, firewood with, you know, I was operating chainsaws. I was operating splitters and, you know, splitting wood by hand with axes and mauls and wedges and sledgehammers and, you know, cutting and baling hay in the summertime and repairing fences and just being outdoors, literally more than I was indoors. My job was outdoors for a lot of the time, you know? So when I tell you, like, you know, I moved to Tennessee and I found a different life and I started finding a different career and you know, navigating through my youth and into my young adult years, you know, the concept of, you know, sitting inside or have, you know, climate controlled jobs and all of the modern conveniences, I was like, whoa, there's this now, you know, and I've become like pretty used to that. Like, that's great. I like it. I like not having to, you know, kill myself basically to earn a paycheck. But, you know, some days, like the other day, it was, you know, just, I need to get out. I need to go. I need to sit on the earth. I need to breathe in the fresh air. I need to feel the sun on my skin, my eyes. I need to take all that in, you know, and I need to be recharged. And it did. Like, it's great. So you can do that anywhere, man. You can get no matter where, even if you're in a city, you know, there's parks, there's, you know, granted, you're going to have a lot of other, it's very busy, you know, like there's a lot of stuff. Even here where I usually go, right, as nice of a day as it was for me to be out, so is everybody else, you know. So, you know, you encounter unexpected company sometimes when you go into places that are available to the public. We even talked about that a few podcasts ago about, you know, having ritual in public areas where there's the possibility of being interrupted, whether by accident or on purpose. There's always that, there's always that chance. And then, you know, like there's a highway not too far from where I was sitting. So, you know, you got that noise pollution, but again, you do the best you can. You get what you can get out of it from wherever you are. So what I'm saying is that there's really no, you know, there's a will, there's a way. If you want to, then you'll make it. You'll make it happen. You'll find a way. You find a way or you make a way. So, but yeah, the last thing that I did want to bring to everyone's attention is tomorrow. Tomorrow, for those that are watching this on YouTube. So for like you channel members that are catching this early, thank you very much, by the way. Thank you for the channel members that are supporting the podcast in this way by monetarily donating each month to get early access to these podcasts. And if you guys are interested in supporting the channel that way, like I said, I got car repairs I need to get done. If you want to see the podcast a couple of days, actually a few days before that, before they're normally aired, there's going to be links in the show notes and stuff on how you can do that. But anyway, tomorrow, Friday, the 29th, April 29th, I will be, for the very first time ever, live streaming and gaming at the same time, right? Now, that's a thing. That's a big thing. I know there's a lot of gamer streamers, and I'm not one of them, but I'm going to try something new. I'm going to be playing Plague Inc. So join me on Friday night. I think I'm going to start the stream at like 7:30 Central Time. So that'll be 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific. On the YouTube channel, I'm going to be live streaming and playing the Plague Inc. We're going to try to wipe out humanity with a virus. Sound familiar? Yeah. But anyway, it's a pretty common game. I know a lot of folks I've engaged in the interest over the last couple of weeks or whatever. And people are like, yeah, I remember that game. Oh, I still play it occasionally. It's been a while since I've played it, but I thought, man, what a cool thing to do, you know? So we're going to stream, we're going to game. If you guys want to help the channel and help me in any way, pay for my costs on the card, you guys can donate to the channel. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to be talking about, you know, you're going to see me playing this game, but we're going to be talking about pagan stuff too, heathen stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope that you'll join me. So be sure to, if you are not yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, that you are, and that you have all of your notifications turned on, not just the YouTube notifications, but all your device notifications. So if you mainly, you know, absorb this podcast and everything else on your mobile device, please subscribe, turn on notifications, and then make sure your device notifications are turned on, because you don't want to miss it. And I'd like to get a nice, you know, audience in on this and see how much fun we can actually have. And I hope to make these a regular thing. I don't know if they're going to be yet a weekly thing or a monthly thing, probably leaning more towards a monthly thing or a bi-monthly thing, you know, every couple of weeks, who knows. But we'll see. We'll see what we've got going on. And don't know how long the stream's going to last for. It might be an hour, might be 2 hours. You never know. You just never know around here. But the thing about it is it's historical because it's never happened on this channel. I've done plenty of, you know, when I say this channel, I mean, for like the YouTube listeners and watchers, right? Like everybody that's listening on your podcast platforms, if you're not subscribed to Midgard Musings and you want to catch these video podcasts as well, please do so. Please subscribe, check me out, and then join me on Friday night for the very first live stream gaming stream. Like I said, I've streamed plenty of times before. I've gone on marathon live streams where I've, you know, sat here and had chats with all you fine folks for hours. I think 4 or 5 hours may have been the longest live stream that I ever did. But this is a first. So this is kind of historical and I want you all to join me for it. So again, if you haven't yet, subscribe to the channel. Check the Linktree link down in the description area or the show notes or, you know, wherever you see the information for the podcast, wherever you see it, there's going to be a Linktree link. All of my social media is going to be there and follow me everywhere. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I don't really post a lot I don't follow people on Instagram because my Instagram account is linked to the Facebook page and I don't do both. I just cross post from the Facebook platform. So if you guys are following me on Instagram, thank you so much, but please don't take offense if I don't follow you back because I don't use the app. But anyway, follow me there. If you want to see some cool posts, I usually post, you know, a photo or a video or so every day or every couple of days, try to stay active on there as well. Follow me on Twitter, follow me everywhere. Patreon, you can become a patron and help monetarily support what I do. It helps the podcast. It helps everything with the production. As you can see, you know, the environment, the setup, everything is very different than recent podcast episodes because this is new and I wanted to do something that is a bit more unique. So hope you guys enjoy it. If you do, engage. Let me know in the comments section. Answer the polls if you're watching this on the Spotify platform or listening to this. There'll be a poll or questions. You know, engage. Do it. Do the thing and do all the things. And help your boy out. So I do appreciate you all so very much. And thank you for tuning into today's podcast. If you do like it, give it a thumbs up, share it around. And yeah, I hope to see you all again on Friday's gaming live stream, wherein I try to destroy humanity with a virus or some sort of biological warfare. So should be fun. Looking forward to it. All right. Well, that concludes today's podcast episode. Thank you again, all of you, all of my patrons, all my subscribers, all of my viewers, all of my listeners, all of you. Thank you so very much. Until we talk again, hail. May the gods watch over you. May your ancestors continue to walk with you.